Hello, and welcome to episode 342 of Awards Daily TV's Water Cooler Podcast. I am your host, Joey Moser, and I am joined by two M's, but only one season regular. The other M is a special guest. M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Special guest.
Hi, I'm Eddie Moradian, and you can find me at, very originally, at Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, underscore, Moradian, M-O-U-R-A-D-I-A-N.
And I'm your host, Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at, I just forgot my name, at Joey Moser 83. Clarence was originally nominated for this category podcast, but they discovered that he was actually in too many episodes that made him a little ineligible. So he will return next week. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing? That was a great intro, Joey. Good job.
Your loss is your further loss, because now you have me instead. As the new guest on the show, I'll just come in, stink up the joint, and you'll be wishing for Clarence back.
I like the way you spelled out your name, by the way, Eddie. I really like that. You did such a good job. I feel like you probably do that a lot for people, like as somebody who has a complicated last name too.
You learn how to just spell it. I didn't even do the M as in Mary, D as in David, yeah. N as in Nancy, because I also swallow my consonants. Guys, I have a lot of problems. I didn't go to speech pathology when I was younger. Oh. It's a real nightmare. But I'm, and yet here I am on an audio medium. Can you believe it?
Yes. Love it.
Yes, love it. This actually isn't a podcast about television anymore. It's about diction and elocution, because I feel like Eddie has very good diction and elocution. Going to talk to us about how to pronounce things like his last name. So welcome, Eddie. Thank you so much for coming to the water cooler. I guess first, I actually wanted to ask, like, where can people sort of find you? Like, I know you write for a bunch of different sites. Where can people find some of your stuff?
Sure. You can find me on Awards Watch, where I write scathing pieces, which are normally lists, because no better way to discuss art than by listing it. And on some other sites too, and if anybody's hearing this and likes my elocution and diction, I would love to write for your outlet as well. But really, find me on Twitter, where I'm just constantly posting really life-changing things.
Lovely. All right, so every year we talk about the Emmy guest categories with a special guest, and Eddie is this year's victim. Volunteer.
Voluntold.
I was like, you're on the podcast. We will be talking about who is nominated. We're going to do some little predicting here, who we think is going to win. And maybe if we want to dive into maybe, I have a personal problem with a bunch of these nominees. If we wanted to throw our hat in the ring, if anybody, you know, wants to say who should have been nominated this year, that is sort of a clusterfuck part 2 year, since last year's Emmy Awards were sort of a clusterfuck to begin with. So, and then we will close our podcast, as always, with a flash forward to the media we are most anticipating in the upcoming week. So we have four categories to talk about. Guest actor in a drama, actress in a drama, and then guest actor and actress in a comedy series. Do we want to start with a particular category first?
Guest
no.
choice.
Guest choice. What a great suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm going to say let's start with the drama categories, because I think they're slightly less, they're slightly more annoying, but less exciting.
Okay. Let's talk about the men first. Let's get them out of the way.
Get them right out of the way.
So the nominees are Don Cheadle for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Charles Dance for The Crown, Timothy Oliphant for The Mandalorian, Courtney B. Vance for Lovecraft Country, and Carl Weathers for The Mandalorian. There is only one first-time nominee here. That's Carl Weathers for The Mandalorian. I actually thought Courtney B. Vance had a shit ton of Emmy nominations. It's a lie. He's only been nominated for two. Who wants to start first? What's everyone thinking about this category? Does anybody have any thoughts of the men nominated?
My first thought is I like that Charles Dance and Courtney B. Vance rhyme together. Like, I think that's cute.
I think it's cute, but I also think it's important.
Yes.
You think it's important?
I think it's important. I think it says something.
Ooh, I like that. What I mean, do we want to eliminate? Like, see, I keep thinking Don Cheadle could win, even though he was like the one who's the joke of like, oh, he's only in like a split second, right? He's barely in it.
He's like the Alfre Woodard, not Alfre Woodard. I'm thinking of wasn't Ellen Burstyn nominated in a guest category years ago, and it was like she was in the show for like 3.5 minutes, but people just saw her name.
She was on the show for like 14 seconds or 15 seconds.
And they were like, Ellen Burstyn, we like her. She's famous, right? That's nominated.
Yeah, that was for. Oh God, which was it for? Was it House of Cards?
No, it was years. It was like 150 years ago.
She's been nominated. Oh, that happened 150 years ago, exactly. Let's see, People versus Jean Harris, Pack of Lies, Hallmark Hall of Fame, Mrs. Harris, nominated for
maybe
that.
Maybe it was Mrs. Harris. I mean, I could be making this up. Who knows? You guys have never had me on your podcast before. I'm a wild card.
He's just here to sabotage. He's like, oh, let me put these ideas in your brain. Ah.
If it's not this exact, if it's not Ellen Burstyn, it's something like this has happened before somewhere at some awards body. So I think that's a safe thing to say.
I think
she was a cameo role in Mrs. Harris for 14 seconds.
Hello.
Wow.
That's insane.
Well, I'm looking at Don Cheadle's Emmy. Like, he's been nominated
he's 11.
11 times, and he's never won. And I feel like he's kind of a bit everywhere right now, considering he is narrating the new Wonder Years. He's in this. He was in Space Jam. Space Jam 2, I'm sorry.
I was really confused about that thing.
I feel like Timothy Oliphant and Carl Weathers might cancel each other out. I feel like Courtney B. Vance they've already given him his big Emmy.
I'm sorry, I heard Cardi B. Vance.
Oh, Courtney B. Vance? I'm sorry.
I mean, I would buy the
Cardi B. Vance. Courtney B. Vance.
That just came out now.
Courtney B. Vance is what I meant. But I do like that. If they dated, that would be a great, great name. Cardi B. Vance. But I don't know if Charles Dance has won before, but feel like Don Cheadle is the one that's kind of the I think he could win. I think that's who I'm gonna pick.
Oof. I actually have so Don Cheadle is in it for like 5 minutes. He talks with Anthony Mackie about Captain America and then he's gone. Charles Dance wakes up in the morning, gets in a boat, and dies. Spoiler alert. Carl Weathers, I actually didn't get to his episode. And then Timothy Oliphant is actually in the whole episode. Because what I do every year is I go through, I don't watch all the episodes. I just skip forward to all their scenes and I watch them. And I was really bummed when I had to watch Timothy Oliphant's episode. And I was like, oh, he's in the whole fucking thing. I have to watch the whole fucking thing. And they basically, his episode is about him working together with the Mandalorian to blow up a giant worm. I'm not kidding. I feel like Courtney B. Vance is going to win this. I swear to God, if Don Cheadle wins after being nominated for shows that nobody watches,
What's also crazy about Don Cheadle, I feel like, is he's always nominated, not always, but the bulk of his nominations have come from like comedies. Like, because when you think of comedy, you just like Don Cheadle, one of the funniest men in America. I mean, he's very charming.
He was in Hotel Rwanda.
That's his Oscar nomination. And then his Emmy nominations are like all for comedies. And I think that's wild. But I do think, Megan, your point about about Don Cheadle, I think you could graph that onto Timothy Oliphant because he's only been nominated like once, considering Deadwood and Justified. I feel like they love The Mandalorian, and I wonder if same logic could be applied to him with, from what Joey says, a more substantive guest role. And I don't want Courtney B. Vance to win, only because I will say one of my only celebrity encounters ever was with Courtney B. Vance. He was lovely. The nicest man. So I wish him well. I'm sure he remembers this interaction vividly, I'm sure. But it's because they do guest actor and actress off, not on the night of the Emmy. So if we're not even going to get Angela Bassett, like, why? You know what I mean?
Oh, so you mean you don't want him to win because if it's not going to be actually at the Emmys, you don't want to. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I think that's how we should reward people. I think that's what is it going to do for the show? How I always think when somebody is going to win an award, how much of this will impact Angela Bassett? And how much Angela Bassett will I get if this person wins an award? And I don't think it's enough.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
You have convinced me. I think he's lovely. I agree. I love him. I mean, who doesn't love Courtney B. Vance? I remember when he won for People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, so great. Right there.
It was great because I was like, they're kissing. They're like one of the hottest couples in the world. So, you know, get them up on stage. But I kind of want to switch my vote now. I think Courtney B. Vance still might win, but now I want to sway my own personal preference. I love Don Cheadle on Black Monday. It wasn't eligible this year because it season 3 premiered outside of the voting window, so it wasn't eligible. So he probably would have gotten nominated if you know, he could have been a double nominee this year. I don't know.
He's just got a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak, and that's why I think they might just be like, Don Cheadle, he's doing all this stuff. I don't know, even, like, a lot of people said he was, like, the best thing about Space Jam, too, because he really gives it his all,
But that is, like, saying this is the nicest discarded baby's crib in the dump. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... That movie was... I wanted more... I can't even actually articulate words about it. It was...
I think it's, not to go on that tangent, but I think it was LeBron James's fault.
I think LeBron is fairly engaging as a screen presence. I loved him in Trainwreck. Maybe not as himself. The kids I thought were bad, the whole plot. Yeah. Like he just also doesn't have that kind of I don't think he has the kind of persona. I know nothing about basketball, but from the little bit that the lay person knows about him, I just don't think he'd be the kind of dad that his son would be scared to be like, I like to do computer work. Who cares? I want to design video games. It was, that movie made my heart sad. And the background, like nothing was more bone chilling to me in the year 2021 than like the like background of like Pennywise the clown standing next to the Wicked Witch, standing next to like Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte. Like, what was going on?
It was all terrifying and really disturbing.
Speaking of terrifying and disturbing, what the fuck are we talking about?
About the background of Space
Jam. I know what we're talking about, but I...
we got a little bit off tangent. We can get back to... We could link it to the scary category of outstanding guest drama actress.
I would like to go back for a second and just say, Megan, you are the only person that makes room in my brain for Space Jam: A New Legacy. Like, I don't think about it at all, and then I casually talk with Megan about something, and she's like, "And you know, Space Jam." And I'm like,
It's an important film that came out this year.
it is important, but I just haven't quite figured out why. I wonder if it's like the tipping point into, like, you know, society's not worth saving. Like,
just would agree with that, actually.
You know, let's just call it a day. We tried.
Okay. So speaking of some dystopian societies, apparently, we have two nominees for The Handmaid's Tale in guest actress in a drama series. Now, in the last 4 years, Handmaid's Tale has won 3 times in this category. And we have Alexis Bledel for The Handmaid's Tale, McKenna Grace for The Handmaid's Tale, and the other nominees are Claire Foy for Reading a Radio Broadcast, Felicia Rashad for Being Domineering, and Sofia Canedo for Going Completely Off the Rails for Ratched. Eddie, do you think we were going to see a Handmaid's Tale repeat here?
I mean, I could not have possibly expected The Handmaid's Tale to have such a haul at this year's Emmys. I really wasn't expecting it. I know it was a kind of an off year just because of the pandemic and schedules for shows, but it really came back. It really, you know, had a significant showing at nominations, and it does do well. So I wouldn't be overly surprised. I can't, in good conscience, say Alexis Bledel. If you told me literally 20 years ago that I'd be having this conversation on a podcast, which didn't exist 20 years ago, that Alexis Bledel would be an Emmy winner before Lauren Graham, not to mention her grandmother. Oh my God, whose name is escaping me? Emily. What's Emily's name?
Kelly Bishop.
Kelly Bishop. I would have called you a liar. So I just can't do it. That's for me, guys. That's not on you. That's on me. That's my journey. So I'm going to go wild and just go ratchet. I think
you're probably right.
I just think that that's usually where it's like a performance on a show that maybe underperformed. So I'm sorry, I said ratchet. I should have said Sophie Okonedo, just speaking about her Oscar nominee partner, Don Cheadle, in Hotel Rwanda.
Reunion.
But I think that's sometimes where you see them go like, okay, this show didn't perform well overall in the nominations, but there was one performance that sort of stood out, even if it was a little bonkers. And I think it could be her, and I would love to see it.
This is her first nomination. Her and McKenna Grace, this is their first nomination. Alexis Bledel has been nominated 4 times. She won the first year. She was guest, supporting guest. Claire, well, I think that Sofia Canedo is actually... I like how, like, sort of the operatic extremity she brings to that episode. She's a person who, at that point in time, was diagnosed with multiple personality disorders. It is an actor's wet dream. She's literally going back and forth between being, like, a famous piano player to being a little girl to being, oh, God, what's the name of the athlete who humiliated Hitler? Why am I blanking?
Oh, Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens. It is so crazy. And I know I saw people online saying, like, you know, people don't usually win for shows that are nominated for series. And I was like, that's really mostly in the last couple of years. So, I mean, Ratched, I think this is one of the only major nominations it got, but, I'm putting all my eggs in Sofia Canedo. Megan, what do you think?
I think the same thing, because I don't think they'll give it... I mean, I think the safe bet, the probably who will win is Alexis Bledel. If they just go name check, it's her. Mm-hmm. I don't think Claire Foy will win because she already has... If she didn't have an Emmy, maybe, but, like, no.
She reads a piece of paper.
McKenna Grace, I think, is probably the one the most talked about in this category, but I don't see them giving it to, like, a child act, even though... How old is she? I don't even know how old she is, but she's... Yeah, I don't see them giving it to a child. And Felicia Rashad, they don't want to touch that. So,
I was actually wondering, do we know what the overlap between... I can't believe this is like a conversation, like even a a real thing to say, but like what the overlap between her statements in support of Bill Cosby and the voting period was, because it might be sort of moot.
Well, I don't know, but she's been nominated in the past and she's never won. And
she's never won. She's been nominated for six Emmys, three for this particular category. She, I mean, the voting window for phase two opens on the 17th. So I don't think necessarily that she's,
I'm sorry. I'm conflating voting for nominations with her. Sorry. That was my fault.
No, that's okay. Actually, that's a good question. I wonder if she's, I think she, at this point, she's just like a name check.
Cause I know at one point we thought she would win for sure.
Well, last year she was going to win.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know. I think it's especially now that she came out so publicly saying what she said about, you know, Cosby's innocence. I just think people are going to want to touch that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%.
So that's why, yeah, I think Sophie is what I would go with.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Sophie, even though, you know, her show is not nominated. I mean, This Is Us isn't nominated again this year, so... Isn't it? And why am I blanking? But she, I don't know. I don't think it's Felicia Rashad. I mean, canceling out, I don't think matters for this, because obviously Handmaid's Tale has won this category with more multiple, you know, nominees in the category. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem. Oh, no, it is nominated for drama series. What am I talking about? So the only person who isn't nominated in a series nominated show this year is Sophie Okonedo, which I'm not sure how often that happens. Okay, so we're all going with Sophie, which is very heartening to me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Who knows? Let's move on to the SNL categories, as I am calling them. Let's start with the men again, because fuck the men. We have Alec Baldwin for SNL, Dave Chappelle for SNL, Daniel Kaluuya for SNL, Dan Levy for SNL, and Morgan Freeman for The Kaminsky Method.
actually,
I would also like to point out, Alec Baldwin has been nominated for the same amount of Emmys as everyone else and every other one of his nominees combined. He's been nominated for 20. Dave Chappelle's been nominated for 11. Morgan Freeman's only been nominated for 3. Daniel Kaluuya's first nomination, and obviously Dan Levy has like 8,000 of them since last year. Megan, what are your thoughts? You're a staunch hater of SNL.
And the funny sad thing is, it used to be like my favorite, absolute favorite show. So I think that Alec Baldwin has too many Emmys. They're not going to give it to him. Dave Chappelle just won for this recently. I can't see them giving it to him. Dan Levy won everything last year, so I don't think they'll reward him. So that leaves Daniel Kaluuya and Morgan Freeman. And I feel like there is love for the Kaminsky method. And I feel like Morgan Freeman is the one that stands out since everybody else has SNL. So I'm going with Morgan Freeman.
So like the apple on a bag of oranges.
Yes. And sort because it's Morgan Freeman. Does he have an Emmy? I don't know if he has.
He does not. He does not have any. I think he's actually...
Is he close to an EGOT?
Him and Daniel Kaluuya are the only ones who don't have Emmys in the category. I don't know. Let's see. I assume he has, like, a voiceover Grammy for something.
Yeah. Would he have a Tony, though? I don't think so. Unless it was...
I feel like he would,
like,
because he was so involved in plays, like, in the beginning of his career.
Let's see. Tony Awards. He has... No, he's actually only been nominated for one Tony Award in 1978.
That's so crazy.
Which is crazy. I'm looking up Grammys. Let's see. I'm sure he has. Oh, he's never been nominated for a Grammy. Oh, this is insane. No spoken word with the voice of God. That seems wrong.
No, I mean, odds are not in his favor. You know what I mean? Maybe that EGOT's not going to happen for more.
He's got an O. He's not going to EO maybe this year. So you don't think it's going to be Morgan Freeman? Eddie?
I mean, the world is not enough, for Daniel Kaluuya, as far as I'm concerned. And would I love to see him win an Emmy and an Oscar in the same year? Of course I would. I'm a human being on this planet. Of course I would. But I actually, I think it's going to be Dan Levy, even though I know it's, ooh, I shouldn't be saying this considering that we are legally married, although he has never met me. So it is a little biased, but, I think the love for Schitt's Creek was so overwhelming last year that I wonder if it's just gonna like transfer over into like one last thing for him. And his episode was fairly well received.
There's a lot of press for him with that episode too, how he would like keep messages for people like ahead of time and started like a kind of like a pay it forward to future guests.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is still very beloved. I think the episode is fairly beloved, and I think I also think the like affection for Schitt's Creek is still sort of out there, especially with some Emmy voters who might have just sort of are like still discovering or like still like haven't been with it since the beginning kind of thing, and sort of like we're catching on to it late. So I think it could just carry on over.
It does feel something like different about his nomination, where, like, I think last year Phoebe Waller-Bridge was nominated the year after she won a shit ton of Emmys for the second season of Fleabag. That felt more of like a, we love you, we still love you, oh, we'll give you another nomination. That felt more like that than this does, because just looking at some of the sketches from his episode, I feel like people were talking about those sketches more than they normally do. I originally was thinking, oh, it's Morgan Freeman, just because his is not an SNL episode. I will say I watched his episode. He plays himself, and he's in the episode for like 4 minutes. Again, these categories are giving me an ulcer. But I think I might stick with Morgan Freeman, although I think Eddie makes a very, very valid point with Dan Levy.
Yeah, I think you do too, Eddie.
Well, see, I'm historically wrong about everything, so don't go by me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe you are a new beacon of predicting here. We don't. These categories are like, we talk about a lot of categories. Some of them are kind of crazy. We don't know who they're going to vote for. Sometimes things are very obvious, and other times they're just like, oh, they voted for that. All right. Like last year with Maya Rudolph, that felt like sort of like an inevitable kind of thing, but that's not always the case. So who knows?
Yeah, the Emmys are so interesting because you have the, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm 300 years old. So I grew up watching the Emmys as like, you know, Candace Bergen wins for six Emmys in a row, and then it goes straight to Helen Hunt and wins like five in a row. And yes. I know, and like that is somewhat unprecedented, other than, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's recent domination for V. But it was, you know, the Emmys that I'm more used to watching are, or that I grew up watching, were more like, this is the show, this is the person, and like that's just it. Like we just stick with them forever. And that's sometimes that happens like with the Julia Louis-Dreyfus, although every one of those Emmys felt very earned. But then sometimes they are so unpredictable because they will, you know, finally catch on. But then maybe they finally catch on to the point of a quote unquote overcorrection, and they just give every Emmy to Schitt's Creek last year. So, you know, or they give it Tatiana Maslany. Who you just like, how could I have ever predicted this? This is amazing. So, you know, it is sort of like hard to know. They're going to go for the Sophie Oaken. Oh my God, guys.
Sophia.
I have spoken before and I have a difficult last name. What's wrong with me? you know, so point being that it is so hard to, figure out where they're going to like stick with like, yeah, Dave Chappelle, he wins his category every year and we give it to Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Or are they going to go for somebody who's a little bit more off the beaten path?
All right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's, I started watching the Emmys and like that sort of like, you know, oh, it's just the same person for, you know, seven straight years. And that's fine. That's just what the Emmys do. But I feel like in the last couple of years, especially, it's sort of opened up, not opened up like a different unpredictable way of voting, but I feel like the last couple of years I've had more of a spread the wealth kind of sentiment. I do think that last year is sort of an anomaly. Like all the some of the people who, you know, were just watching the Emmys for the first like couple years, they're like, well, obviously, you know, every show is gonna win all four acting categories, and you want to be like, shut the fuck up and sit down. That's never happens.
Yeah.
So you know, there are those people that I just want to, you know, ring around the collar. But
I think your point about Fleabag is sort of the proof in the pudding, like of that exact point, like. It, for all intents and purposes, it was Veep's year. It was like a great capper to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She also just like had ended her cancer battle. It was a good final season. That show had dominated the Emmys, you know, for so many years. And then Fleabag comes in and it's so amazing and it just sweeps. And if the Emmys were sort of the Emmys of maybe 15 years ago, maybe it would have been like, yes, Fleabag is great, but like, this is the course that we're on. We're on the Veep train.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay. Let's talk about, the last category. We'll close with some ladies here. We got a guest actress in a comedy series. The nominees are Jane Addams for Hacks, Yvette Nicole Brown getting her first nomination for a Black Lady Sketch Show, Bernadette Peters for Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, Issa Rae for a Black Lady Sketch Show, Maya Rudolph, reigning champion for SNL, and Kristen Wiig for SNL.
I have to say, I don't necessarily need to go first. I need to think about it a little bit more. But if you were to just look at this list of actresses without like what they're nominated for, I mean, I would watch the crap out of this show. Like, would you not watch like Wine Country 2 with these? Like, Maya Rudolph goes back to Wine Country with like her other group of friends, and it's these ladies. I just think it's a really interesting, fun group of women.
It always, yeah, I would agree with that. I actually like seeing like Yvette Nicole Brown get in there. Wow. Like, wow. She's somebody I think is underrated. And Jane Addams is really good on Hacks. I mean, Bernadette Peters, Issa Rae.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, so I kind of feel like, you know, Maya won last year. Kristen Wiig's been nominated in this category a lot, has never won. Bernadette Peters. Yeah, she doesn't have an Emmy, which is kind of surprising. Issa Rae and Yvette Nicole Brown. I'm wondering, I kind of feel like it could be Jane Addams for Hacks because she's like an actress who's been around a while. She was on Hung on HBO, so she's got like, you know, people know her from television too. I just feel like, she also is very, you know, probably of all of these categories. I mean, I can't speak for all of them, but, you know, I know some of the four of them are sketch comedy shows, and then I don't know what Bernadette Peters does on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, but I feel like on Hacks, Jane Addams' character was memorable, and you know, and it's like a character as opposed to playing characters on like variety of characters on sketches. But I don't know. I feel like I'm going with Jane Addams.
I will say that I love Bernadette Peters. I had sort of a traumatic Bernadette Peters experience when I was in high school. Love her to the end of time. She bursts into her submitted episode singing Sia's Cheap Thrills. And it's a lot. And then she sort of is a shepherd for, oh my God, Mary Steenburgen, who is, you know, who's a widow in season two of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, trying to like help her get out there and get over the death of her husband. So it's actually sort of a lovely guest performance. She also has never won an Emmy. So I mean, Issa Rae is nominated. I would love it if any of these women won, really. I mean, Issa Rae is also nominated for being, you know, the producer of a Black Lady sketch show. So if she doesn't win here, I don't know, maybe she'll pull out a win in variety sketch. Not totally, you know, a probability, but who knows? Eddie, what are you sort of thinking about this category? Who do you think you would want to see win? Who would you?
I also would like them all to win. But so I agree wholeheartedly about Yvette Nicole Brown. I love Shirley from Community. She's been doing such good work on TV for years.
Yeah, yeah.
This would be such a great kind of culmination of all of that. And I do agree. I think she's underappreciated, undervalued, as like a supporting player, should be in so many more things. And I also think that I love Issa Rae. I love Black Lady Sketch Show. I love Insecure, and there's like a little part of me that sort of doesn't want Issa Rae to win for this.
Yeah, right. Me too.
You know what I mean? Like, I want her to win as a producer who's like producing her own content, whether it be exactly with a Black Lady Sketch Show as a producer or with Insecure. But that said, I would love for her to have, you know, a trophy at home. But all that to say, and of course, I want Maya Rudolph to have everything in the world. I just want whatever is going to make her happy. I want her to have, whether that's an Emmy or whatever it is. But I agree. I think it's Jane Addams. I think it's like the perfect guest actress role. It's like a journey woman actress. You know her. She gets like a great guest role. Like, those are always sort of, those again feel like a classic guest actress in a comedy Emmy win. Is like Jane Addams and Hacks. And I also just think Hacks is the show right now. Other than Ted Lasso, mm-hmm. I think Hacks is like the show with the most buzz. So I think that is also in actually all of these categories feels like the show that has that going for it the most. Where it's like, oh, well, this is a show that's going to win everything or is in contention to win everything with Ted Lasso. So I think it's Jane Addams for sure.
I think I'm trying to figure out what episode Jean Smart submitted, because I think, no, she's not. I thought maybe the same episode was. I thought maybe she would have submitted the same episode as Jane.
The season finale?
Yeah, but it's not. She submitted 1.69 million. Jean Smart did for her submitted episode, the one where she gets on stage and, you know.
Yeah. For the soon-to-be, her soon-to-be Emmy-winning episode.
I mean. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, I think Jane Addams would be a great, you know, winner. I feel like, you know, going back to just look at some of these people that we just talked about, I think it would be sort of amazing. Like, say, for instance, the winners of these guest categories were Jane Addams, Morgan Freeman, Sofia Kennedy, and, like, say, Timothy Olyphant or John Cheadle, like, actors who have been putting work in for a very long time. You know, some of these people would be considered more character actors than others. There's not, like, actually looking at all of them, I think probably, I mean, excluding McKenna Grace and, like, Alexis Bledel, and maybe to a certain extent Claire Foy, Annie Saray, there's a lot of, like, they're not, like, totally young, super young people in this category, which I always kind of like. I think they should just, you know, rename these the Margot Martindale categories.
I think they would have to name them character actress Margot Martindale.
Category. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Silly me.
Okay. I think in the guest actress category, which I think is interesting too, I feel like Maya and Kristen's episodes are not as memorable, you know, as opposed to even the guest actor ones, you know, the Chappelle mm-hmm. episode, the Kaluuya episode, and the Levy episode. I feel like I like that I use the male last names and the female's first names, like Maya and Kristen.
They're your friends.
Because we're buddies. But yeah. It is, even though I love Maya Rudolph and I love Kristen Wiig, and I'm sure I watched their episodes, I'm not, the recall of them is less than, I think, the male guest actors.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I remember more of Kristen's episode when I rewatched it than I thought I did. I think the most memorable thing from Maya's episode was the Beyonce eating hot wings thing, because that was amazing to me. But Kristen Wiig, I don't know, something about Kristen Wiig's episode makes me wonder if we shouldn't count her out. It was, you know, the famous yearly Christmas episode. She, you know, again, like I think Megan mentioned, she has never won an Emmy. She, it was the last episode of 2020. She says that in her monologue. So who knows? Maybe that would be the weird curveball.
She's riding high off of Barb and Star still.
Barb and Star. Yeah. So who knows? Okay. Do you guys want to say anything else about the guest categories before we move on to the flash forward?
I don't have anything. Do you, Eddie?
No, I have. I have said all I can say on the subject.
Okay. Well, as per tradition, when we have a guest with the flash forward, we'll start with you, Eddie, if you don't mind. What sort of book, movie, TV show are you looking forward to that that's being released or in the upcoming week, or maybe something you're catching up on?
I cannot wait to watch Respect. I know the review, the early word is like somewhat middling, despite a great performance from Jennifer Hudson. But I have just been down the biggest Aretha Franklin hole the last couple of weeks. This is the promoted ad has done its work on all of my socials. I just cannot wait to watch her sing these songs. And I love Aretha Franklin. And I also like don't mind a rote by the numbers musical biopic if it's good. I hate one if it's bad. I hate a Bohemian Rhapsody, but like I'll watch a Rocket Man. I will love a Rocket Man. You know, I love watching people sing on screen. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And so Jennifer Hudson singing Aretha Franklin is just could not be any more up my alley. So cannot wait.
I don't think I sort of am scoffing a little bit at some of the like reactions to that movie a little bit. I was talking with former guest podcast nominee Clarence Moy about it, and we were talking about how people sort of differentiate, oh, that's like what people are saying on Twitter versus what people are saying in the real world. I think we sort of heard that people that had seen early stuff had loved it, but I mean it's Jennifer Hudson singing Aretha Franklin. Like how is your ass like not in the seat already? Like I'm there for that shit.
What else do you need? Like I don't need it to change my life, you know, like yeah. And it will. The vocals will change my life.
Will she totally sound like Aretha Franklin? Not from what I have seen, but I don't need that. If she wants to sound like Jennifer Hudson singing Aretha Franklin, okay.
No, you know what I don't know if she'll sound like Aretha Franklin. I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is that I will cry. And I will cry several times during this movie just from watching her sing these Aretha Franklin songs. I think it's going to be great in the right ways. I do think from the bits that I have seen, I don't want to reduce Jennifer Hudson's performance to just her singing. I feel like from the bits that I have seen, it feels like she's also giving a really good performance as Aretha Franklin. So I can't wait.
Good. I'm a firm defender of her Oscar win for Dreamgirls. Anybody who wants to comment me for that,
so good.
100%. It's ridiculous that it's even a conversation. She was great.
Anytime someone's just like, well, she's not that good, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you, so goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, whatever. Megan, what are you looking forward to this week?
So, the challenge MTV comes back.
Okay.
Cheap Old Houses, which is an Instagram account that I follow, has a TV show on HGTV now. It's awesome. Yeah. So I'm going to see what they do with the that.
Open that up right now.
I am listening to the Plot Thickens podcast and really enjoying that. And now it makes me want to watch Bonfire of the Vanities. I still need to finish Casey Wilson's book. I just finished Troublemaker, the Leah Remini's book. And I'm so tired. there's so much to do, but that's it for now.
Wait, what is, can you just tell me 5 seconds what the Plot Thickens? podcast is?
Oh, it's TCM's podcast where they talk about like a director in a film and like the making of it. And they're doing right now Brian De Palma's Bonfire of the Vanities, which is based on Tom Wolfe's novel, which is like this huge hit book in the 80s. And then they decided to turn it into a movie and how it's been kind of like, actually Morgan Freeman is in it and is a key plot point in the story of the making of it. But I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's just like kind of like the making of it and how it went over budget and how it was supposed to be like, you know, this huge film and how it wasn't.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, awesome. So I am reading Nine Perfect Strangers ahead of the Hulu premiere. So I'm reading that. I have a screener to Coda, which I'm dying to watch.
Yes, it's so good.
I can't wait, yeah.
So I need to do that. Now I'm going to check out that podcast. And I guess the other thing I'm really looking forward to, Outfest starts in LA this week, and I'll be covering some of it for Awards Daily. So I remember last year there was a certain point where I tried because it was the part where I was unemployed and I had nothing to do. And I was watching as many, you know, movies from that festival as I could because, you know, it was a new time and this is the first time I've ever been to that festival. So I was trying to consume all these different movies. And at one point, when it was coming to a close, I was like, I need to stop watching gay shit. Like, I can't watch another like sensitive movie. Not that they were bad, it was just I watched like, including shorts, I watched like probably close to 100 movies, and it was everything is so sensitively made and blah. I was like, I'm so tired. if I see one more documentary about AIDS, I'm gonna die. It was but it's good, so I'm looking forward to it. I think the slate is really, really interesting. So I'm looking forward to those. Maybe catching up some other podcasts and such. So, yeah, that's for me. Does that cover it with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank our guest, Eddie, for joining us. Thank you so much for being our guest for the guest podcast.
Yeah, it was good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we'll have to wrangle you back on so you can be voluntold again to come back to the podcast.
No problem. I am offer only, as you know, though, Joe.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah. I'll reach out to your people. So if you want to keep listening to our podcast, we ask you to keep listening. If you do like us, if you don't like us, please don't leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. We are wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow. So goodbye from us at the water cooler.